The second thing that in chapter 3 and verse 2, and he says, in the middle of the verse, it says, only that generations of the children of Israel might know war by learning it. The second thing that God has intended in the book of Judges, because it came to a point where every man did what is their own right in their own eyes, he wanted them to be able to face conflict. He wanted them to learn how to fight. They wanted them to know how to war. The unfortunate thing, we are living in a days where we think Christianity, you know what, we always compare, we make it sound like Christianity is like Moab. We want everything at ease. We don't want difficulty. We don't want conflict. We don't want somebody to correct me. I don't want somebody to tell me, where were you tonight? We missed you, brother. We missed you, sister. And all of a sudden, we don't like a conflict. We don't like confrontation. We don't like conflict. But let me tell you. Let me bring you to reality. Christianity is not only I am a Christian or a believer, or I am only a disciple of the Lord Jesus. When Paul wrote unto Timothy, he says, as a good soldier. Christianity is warfare. And God wants us to know how to be able to face the conflict and fight for it. I would wish that all of us would read about the mighty men of David. I truly would suggest to you, it's one of the most interesting studies to dig into the mighty men of David that were willing to fight for David. Whether it was against 300 men, whether it was about a lion, whether it was about Egyptian, whether it was about lentil, whether it was about barley, it didn't matter to them as long as it was doing it for David. But they were willing to face the conflict. We're living in a time when the young believer faced any conflict, oh, I'm leaving. Oh, leaving to where? Where are you going? Just because of a little conflict, I am telling you, if every brother, every sister, they're going to leave because of conflict, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. God does not want us to run away from things. He doesn't want us to run away from conflict. He wants us to learn how to fight. He wants us to learn how to face conflict for His glory and for His honor. No wonder that the Apostle Paul, the first thing at the time of his departure, he says what? What did he say? I have fought. I have fought a good fight. He was talking as a general, not only a soldier, as a general in the army of the Lord. So God has every intention for you and for me, young ones, is really to have this path of separation. He wants me from the Word of God to learn how to fight. This is why when we talk about warfare, we're not talking about brethren. Please, don't fight against your older brothers and sisters. Appreciate them. Learn how to respect. Learn how to show reverence. These older brothers and sisters that sometimes you might not go along and you might say, well, you know, their thoughts are still from the 18th century. And you might make whatever claim you want to make, thank God for them. Because you know what? They learn how to live a separated life, and they learn how to protect and preserve the things that we enjoy today. And the third thing it says in verse 4, in the middle of it, and to know whether they would obey the commandments. God has every intention that His people, the people of God, will live a separated life, would learn how to fight, and our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but we need to learn the wiles of the enemy. We need to know how to fight the enemies. We're going to talk, the conference is about the three worst enemies to the believer. So we need to understand how to fight. Not only say, yeah, Satan is my enemy, the flesh is my enemy, the world is my enemy. Well, let me ask you, how are you going to face them? What kind of weapon are you going to face them with? How is your warfare going along now? Are you overcoming? God wants us to know how to fight. And the third one, He wants us to obey. Listen, you can come to the meetings as much as you want. And I'm talking to the older ones as well. We can stand up and give a word of praise and thanksgiving. But obedience in the sight of God is better than sacrifice. Obedience is that I am willing to learn under the authority of the Lord Jesus in my life. I'm willing to stay under, but not only to stay under in the sense of submission, but I'm willing to obey, to learn under His authority, to learn under His rights. And that's what God has a desire for every believer, is to learn that God has given us something great. It is worth separating from the garbage and the trash of this world and to be separate unto God. God wants me to know how to fight a good fight like the Apostle Paul, and God wants me to obey. In whatever the Word of God would say, that I have the willingness to say yes to the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the next thing that really start bringing the wrath of the Lord upon the people of God, because He wanted them to separate, He wanted them to know how to fight, and He wanted them to obey. So the next thing, what do? They dwelt amongst these enemies. I read two verses, but I like the verse in 2 Kings chapter 4 because it gives me the principle that God has in mind. When the woman told the prophet, "For I dwell in peace amongst who? Amongst my people." She knew that God's principle is to dwell amongst the people of God and not amongst the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites. That wasn't God's intention. You still remember when God was speaking about the inheritance and they are breaking the land, and you go to First Chronicles and you will see that the tribe of Benjamin should get this and the tribe of Judah should get this. Why? God have every desire that the saints of God will dwell together. No wonder that there is a Psalm 132 that would say how good and how pleasant, again, the thought of dwelling for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So what did the people of God do in Judges chapter 3? They replaced the principle of being with the people of God, and they replaced it with what? The people of this world. Be careful, young men. Be careful, young sister. When you start replacing your peers that you grew up with in the meeting, they are your friends from the days of your youth, and you start replacing them with friends from this world. Be careful. Be careful. The people of God, then, they start replacing the principle of being with the people of God. Rather than being with the people of God, they had every desire to start dwelling and have that. We have heard about the dwelling. It speaks about a home. It speaks about residence. It speaks about intimacy. Intimacy. The God's tabernacle with men. That's the final thought of God, that God's dwelling is with men, because He desired to be intimate with us. And it's a dangerous ground. I'm telling you, young brother, young sister, take it from the Word of God. It's a dangerous ground to replace the people of God with the people of this world. It's a dangerous ground to be Demas. A man that walked with Paul, he knew Paul, but Paul could come to a moment in his life and he says, "Demas have forsaken me," because he loved this world. It's a dangerous ground. When you replace the people of God, when there is a meeting in the middle of the week, and you would say, "Well, I'm willing to skip the meeting to be with the people of God because my friends have invited me to a party." That's a dangerous ground, I'm telling you. You might not take heed to it. But I trust and I pray that you will be before God in prayer. Because to replace the people of God is not according to the mind of God. We need to be like Ruth. That's why I read Ruth. The principle is, I dwell in peace among my people. That's where you need to be. It's a dangerous ground if this will be said of us, not forsaking the assembling together as the custom of some is. It's a dangerous ground. You need to be with the people of God. Don't replace them with the people of this world. Don't replace the midweek meeting where you can come with the people of God, pray together, study together, rather than being with the friends, I don't know who they are, perhaps, I don't want to say perhaps, I'm talking if they are unbelievers that have no knowledge of Christ, no knowledge of salvation, but you'd rather spend time with them rather than your meeting friends or Christian friends. It's a dangerous ground. It's a very dangerous ground.